magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 24th, 2020. Being Wednesday, it's the Prime Life Times in Review. And I am so blessed, and I think I just, before we went on the air, mentioned this. I didn't know our special guest until today, though I've read some of his stories and poetry. He's a content contributor to the Prime Life Times, but I haven't met him in person. And sometimes you don't know where the person is on their faith journey or their background and such. But, Ralph, I appreciate your prayer time with us and just the fact that at soon to be 85, you're still wanting to stand for the Lord and bring the name of the Lord Jesus Christ into our conversation and are using your gifts and talents, your writing abilities to bless others, bless our team. In fact, we're going to have you read one of your stories, which brought tears to Marianne and my office manager, Karen Harrison's, eyes. But it's been interesting because we were swapping some stories, and you were talking about during World War II. Now, not many people can still tell stories about what was going on during World War II and some other things. And Rob, who's also joining us today, our copy editor, Rob, the 75-year young senior saint, you're 10 years removed from Ralph here. So
don't call me a senior saint. I'm just a saint will do.
But anyways, I'm excited about
I don't know if that'll do or not. That's kind of a big term.
but I'm excited about the program, sharing Ralph with you. And Marianne, I think by way of introduction, you're going to read one of his poems out of a book that's still available. It's for sale. It's called Some Poems by Ralph.
I love that classic title, Some Poems by Ralph.
Yeah. Some Poems by Ralph. And then I think maybe, Rob, you can do a little more of a formal introduction of your dear friend. And then we're going to have you, Ralph, read a story, and we'll do some chit-chat.
Okay.
Which one did you pick out, Marianne, and why?
Okay, there are so many in this book that are great. Rob introduced me to this book. These poems, we have had a number of them in the Prime Life Times, and they're excellent. I love this one. Okay, Ralph, I'm going to read your poem. The Coffee Shop. In the morning they gather, and maybe later too. These old gentlemen, coffee to drink and the fat to chew. Whether or not coffee is their favorite drink, it's still a time to talk, reminisce, and think. Sure. The fish grow bigger, the home runs longer, grandkids smarter, and long gone horses stronger. Allow for age noise, different tastes and puff, bigger experience, knowledge, and facts in the rough. These guys have raised families, fought wars, and stood tall. In the face of droughts, depressions, and challenges, big and small. So, lest you laugh and think them quaint, just listen and learn from the stories they paint. Observe them round the table they share, and hope to join them when there's an empty chair. Oh, Ralph, you're so good.
And how many of us can observe many men, maybe men and women at McDonald's or having their coffee or their favorite restaurant, you know, hometown restaurant or something. I know, Rob, you've met up with some guys and do that in Monticello or different areas. So.
I'm sure you could read your own poem better, Ralph, but thank you for letting me.
No, you do well. Well, first I have to say that I can't tell you when I first met Ralph, but I was really, really small. And we grew up in the same denomination, the Church of the United Brethren in Christ, and there was a campground about 40 miles from our farm, but a little farther, considerably farther from Ralph's farm. But he made the trip up there, camp Sunday, conference Sunday, and one of my earliest memories of Ralph is of Ralph and my dad standing by the old tabernacle, which is still there, and talking and visiting.
Now wait. The old tabernacle. How many of us have the old tabernacle in the backyard or something? What is the old tabernacle?
They're not that old. Go ahead.
This campground, they used to meet in a guy's field over by Dixon, Illinois, and it was just a field. And so they came up with this land near Adeline, Illinois. And this town is famous for having more dead people than live people in it. There are a lot more people in the cemetery than
there are living.
But many small towns are like that. Anyway, it's a lovely little town, and there's a campground there. And in the Depression, a group of men said, well, we'll go down and see if we can talk this elevator that's gone bankrupt out of their building. They tore it down, transported the wood up, horses and wagons, and built this big structure that's still there. And you can put doors up on the sides so the breeze goes through. There will never be air conditioning in that building. or heat. It's just not going to happen. But, boy, I have a lot of memories of great spiritual events that took place there in my childhood because we went to church camp, too, as kids. But we could look forward to seeing Ralph every year. And, you know, I think he and Dad had a lot in common. Ralph told me recently he didn't know until later that Dad wrote articles in the paper every week and things like this. Dad wrote some poetry, but he didn't advertise it or anything. You know, he was very, you know, kind of modest about it, as Ralph is. So I just have tremendous memories of this man. I've been to his church. I preached at his church. And they even invited me back again after I preached there once. But he goes to a little church in Claytonville. And if you know where that is, it's surrounded by some of the old Illinois township and county slabs where they had a one-lane concrete road, and you have to get off on the gravel on one side. And those roads were pretty well built, and some of them are still there. So if you want to experience history, take a ride to Claytonville. It's right across from the elevator. That's this little church there.
And Ralph lives in Wellington, and we were talking about where people can pick up the Prime Life Times in your surroundings, and there's lots of locations in Watseka and Milford and other locations.
Cisna Park.
Yeah, Cisna yeah. Park and such. And you're Gideon.
Yeah.
And so how many years involved in the Gideon organization?
About 20, I think.
20 years.
Wow. And you know, you are in the same branch that Bob Dickey's in, I
yeah.
think you said?
Well, not anymore. They split us up into make two different.
Oh, okay.
There were too many Gideons.
Well, there was a wide geographical area.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah,
they made part of them go home. No, not at all.
And, Rob, what would you say is your favorite aspect or characteristic that you appreciate about Ralph?
I would say that Ralph is really a terrific Christian gentleman. I appreciate his knowledge of things rural, and that comes through in his poetry and his story.
Mm-hmm, it does.
And then I just appreciate his stand for the Lord. I appreciate that very much.
Amen.
Have you lived in Wellington most of your life?
I live in the same house I was born in. For a while in my young adulthood, I lived in a different place, but never very far from there.
Really? Really?
But I don't really live in Wellington. I live on a farm.
On a farm, yeah.
And you farmed for many years. Did you have other vocations or work that you've done?
Well, if anybody, old-timers, remember, I used to have a corn shelling business. I did went around and shelled corn, and that was quite a deal, but tied in with farming.
Oh, that's great. That's interesting. Well, you certainly have an ability to write about so many experiences, and everything that you see, it kind of like comes into your mind. That's clear from your poetry book and the articles. And the one I would love for you to read is in this June edition called Remembering Minor. So are you willing to do this?
And do we want to say anything about Minor?
No, we don't,
Mark. Okay, we're going to just wait.
No, we don't want you to give it away.
And listen, do not get away from the radio. If you're in your car, stay in the car.
Yeah.
If you need to run an errand, just hold on. You're going to want to hear this whole story till the very end.
You betcha. It's on page A3 of the June Prime Lifetimes. Ralph Butso, can you read for us?
Sure.
Remembering Minor. Our dog was named Minor. This was not an indication of her status. Minor just seemed a logical name for a border collie in a family with an older and larger black German shepherd with the military-sounding name Major. One nice Sunday afternoon, we put our two-year-old daughter into her red wagon and pulled her the quarter mile or so to the quiet, memory-filled Amity Cemetery down at the corner. As we strolled down the quiet roadway between grassy stretches, nearly filled with various sizes and shapes of tombstones, a young dog greeted us happily. We estimated her at about 6 months. Someone had probably dumped her out at this lonely corner to fend for herself. She followed us home, and without formality or fee, we adopted each other. Minor fit beautifully into our family. Major, the watchdog, barked if strangers came, gave a different bark if friends came, and deterred any hanky-panky by his appearance and the reputation of his breed.
Hanky-panky, Rob, that's a future word you're going to have in your wordsmith workshop because, yeah, that's a classic word.
Minor was a friendly, playful companion who liked children and also adults. She didn't bark at people, only at strange dogs, wild animals, and loud vehicles, such as motorcycles and snowmobiles. Blackie, our ill-tempered cat, was about the only one that mild-mannered Minor didn't get along with. Mm. In her younger years, Blackie would pounce out of the peony bushes and sink her claws into an unsuspecting Minor as she walked by. She also did this occasionally to our two young daughters. Mm. Whatever your view of violence and punishment, the fact that these three did not retaliate probably had something to do with their victimization.
Oh, geez.
When it was time to take Minor, Major, and Blackie for shots, Major was the only one of the three who enjoyed the ride. As time went on, Major died, Blackie mellowed, and an event transpired that changed Minor's idea about riding. We moved about 3.5 miles down the road to the house where I was born, literally. I was grown before I spent a night in the hospital. Minor sensed something unusual in the offing. As we moved a few non-essentials prior to moving day, she seemed to fear we might go away and leave her. She even started to follow us as we left in my red pickup truck. After about a half mile, we realized Minor was following and seemed intent on continuing to do so. We stopped and let her ride with us. On moving day, Minor had no doubt that she needed to stay with us so as not to be abandoned. Hmm. She again started to follow, and her anxious concern persuaded us to let her ride as we hauled belongings to our new home. We certainly had not planned to leave Minor behind, but she saw to it that she had transportation early on moving day. As a result of riding in the truck in connection with moving, Minor's dislike of riding turned into an eagerness to ride in our red pickup, especially with me. I was usually the only one who drove the pickup anyhow, so it became a common sight to see Minor riding with me as her driver.
Ralph, you're a man after my own heart,
yeah,
because I've had Beamer,
yeah,
and before Beamer, CJ, and before CJ, DJ. And
you guys ride along
Scott
together lots,
yeah,
of places,
yeah,
don't you?
He's with us today in the studio, and he rode here. But something interesting happened. He turned 11 recently, and now he's kind of terrified of driving in the car, so I have to lift him up, and he pants, and I don't know, something shifted where he doesn't like driving so much. He likes the destination and getting in here. But okay, back to the story.
Too much riding with Mark, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I was usually the only one who drove the pickup anyhow, so it became a common sight to see Minor riding with me as her driver. If there was a dog on the premises when we stopped to talk with someone, Minor would lie down quietly on the seat, out of sight, and wait for me. However, she would sit up and bark bravely as we drove away. It must have seemed dramatic to her to brashly challenge the local watchdog as we sped off into the distance. Often, my work took me to our shop about a half mile from home. In the morning, Minor was ready to jump into the pickup and ride with me. When we arrived at the shop, she was anxious to get out and explore all around. Usually, after a while, she walked back home. If I returned home at noon, Minor was normally ready to go back to the shop again for the afternoon. Then, however, she didn't jump out, but stayed in the truck to sleep the afternoon away on the seat. As she got older, it became harder for Minor to get into the truck, but she still liked to ride with me. Her hearing grew poor, and I feared she might be run over because she was asleep under the pickup waiting for me to leave, apparently so I couldn't slip away without her. Hmm. But she would always hear the engine start, even if she didn't always hear me call her. If Minor was already at home when I got there, she would walk into the driveway to lead me into my parking place. Her seeming lack of fear in running so close to vehicles concerned me, but she gave the impression that she thought I worried too much.
Hmm.
One spring day, Minor had been out and around in the neighboring field. I used the pickup that evening, returning after dark. As I prepared to back the truck into the garage, I noticed Minor stretched out on her side on the floor where she sometimes slept. In hot weather, the cool concrete floor was probably comfortable. I stopped the truck and got out to alert her to move. But this time, it was not just her hearing that wasn't working. I wouldn't be able to wake her. This dear companion had lived with us for 15 years.
Hmm.
The following morning, the start of a beautiful warm day, the rest of the family had to be away. It seemed appropriate to bury Minor in the soybean field, not too close, but not too far from our home. So, for one last time, I drove and Minor rode in the red pickup.
Mm. And Marianne's about to cry again.
Oh, I tell you.
It's such a sweet, happy
Ralph.
And sad story.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ralph, for sharing that.
Yeah, and so many of us can connect and identify
because
we love our pets and we've shared many memories. They've become oftentimes a part of the family or an integral part of the family, just like one of the children.
I just love it that you drove her in that red pickup that she loved to go in that last time. Oh, my goodness.
I really appreciate that your older daughter still had a photo of Minor and was able to scan it and email it.
Yeah.
And that was so nice that we could have that picture.
That's true.
Several people commented also what a nice picture it is and how they kind of identify with the dog from that nice picture.
Such a nice looking little dog. Yeah, definitely.
And you can see a picture of Minor in June's edition, available at about 300 area locations throughout the area. And you can also see it online at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com.
Yeah.
Well, it just seems to be a feature of herding dogs that they like to give you a good send-off if you go to the farm where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Real quiet, lying there, not much going on. Then when you start leaving, they come barking you off on your way, you know, maybe even chasing you up the drive or up the lane. And then what Minor did in the pickup, I've seen before, a very nice, quiet, herding dog, you know, and then suddenly as you leave, bark, bark, bark.
Yeah. I love that you guys chose such a clever name. You had the big German Shepherd fighting dog, almost Major, and this little guy come along, Minor.
I was thinking he came from a musical family, and that was the Minor, so I was ready to see if there was going to be something.
I keep saying little dog. He's not that little. He's a medium-sized dog.
Probably weighed a little less than Major, maybe.
Yeah.
A little, but Major had long hair, too, so he looked bigger.
Long-haired German Shepherd, right?
I love that ongoing situation with the cat. Batting at everyone. And then finally, after Major died, Blackie mellowed.
Hey, I'm not sure if this is the right word. Rob will call me out.
We'll say it. We'll tell
you. But it's not often we have a poetist.
I don't think that's right.
Is there such a word? Did I make it up?
Well, you can have a poetist, but he's a poet. A poetess would be a lady poet.
Oh, okay. So we have a poet.
Oh, you're kidding.
So a woman can't be a poet?
Of course you can.
I don't like any of this.
And nowadays, we're more likely to leave off all these. In fact, I saw the other day actor instead of actress. And, that's okay. Why do we have to do that?
But you're saying poetess. And you said poetist, right? No, you said poetess. Like T-E-S-S.
Poetess, E-S-S, yeah.
I don't want to be called that.
Yeah, we're not going to protest over this.
Marianne, no poetry now, okay?
I love to write poetry.
You might accidentally call it.
Well, my point was
that
it's rare that we have a poet in the studio here, and why don't we devote our closing few minutes with Ralph reading a poem or two for us.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And we'll let him pick it out and maybe give us a little of the behind-the-scenes story on why he chose this specific poem or poems.
You didn't warn him ahead of time, and he's going to it.
And while he's looking for it, so these are available if somebody says, I would love to purchase this book. Ralph, how would they get a hold of you, or is there a website?
While he's looking, let me tell you, you can email him at rlbutzow, that's rlbutzow, @gmail.com. And Ralph said that at least one lady responded and asked for the book, right? And you sent one off to her maybe a year or so ago.
I didn't used to think I even liked poetry. I always was interested in writing, but I never did very much of it. But, far as for publication, I didn't do much at all. But in 2013, I guess, the Iroquois County used to have, in connection, the library at Watsika in connection with a newspaper, I guess, had a poetry contest in April, the poetry month, and for years, so I remembered I had a couple old poems I'd written years ago in a file, and I got them out and sent them in, and I actually won a third prize.
Excellent.
And then it was in the paper, and I got contacted right away by some ladies who belonged to the Milford Poetry Club, and it still exists.
And so when you first submitted this was 2013. So I'm just thinking you're soon to be 85. So in your like mid 70s, I'm gonna submit this, and I want to encourage everyone, regardless of your age, stay active, stay engaged,
keep going, do
get
stuff,
involved, use your gifts, even if it's something that's been dormant or sitting in a file cabinet or whatever,
nailed up out in the corn crib, doesn't matter,
well, or listen, whatever the gift is.
If you
maybe
can't
painting.
Do, if you can't do one thing anymore, just do something different.
There you go.
And Ralph had said earlier that one of the things that he wants to stay connected and active, and those that he knows that live longer lives have an interest or participate in a club or take up a hobby or an interest, painting or writing, and we salute you.
Yes, we do. I'm looking forward to hearing this.
Yeah, and we also salute you because you're a veteran, and so thanks for your service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, these ladies contacted me, and of course they were anxious for another body in the poetry club.
But, that's
yeah, we
really
say
fair.
A warm body.
That's fair and honest.
But I've been connected with that for a while, and soon after I joined it, and then later on came the book and all, and I started writing poetry like I didn't have good sense. But not long after I started going to the poetry club, I wrote this titled, You Never Know. Milford has a poetry club. Is that a surprise? Many towns lack one, as you may surmise. But from Wellington to Watseka and regions beyond come poetry lovers with a special bond. Some understand theory and can make the rules clear, while others read and write, you might say, by ear. We have classics, favorites, original works, along with discussions and some humor with quirks. A time for learning, improvement, and fun. Most have a smile when the meeting's done. Poetry midst cornfields? How can it be? Just come and join us and you will see.
Oh, that's great. Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
And that is one of many poems in Some Poems by Ralph.
I love that title.
Available. And what's the email, Rob, for people to contact?
rlbutzow, rlbutzow, @gmail.com.
You know, Rob, when you first sent me the first one of Ralph's poems, and I read it, and I really liked it, and I knew we wanted it in the paper, but then I saw that byline with that title of the book, Some Poems by Ralph. I thought, I got to meet this person. I love whoever came up with that title.
If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, under our archive programs link. Well, we got to go. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, Rob Seidenberg, Ralph Butzow, with Great News Radio, a ministry of the Great News Media Group. God bless you, and have a great day and night.